Could we commence our gospel meeting this evening, please, with number 403. Hymn number 403. There's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone, while it bids thee from God's wrath to flee, and whispers to Jesus, "Now come, sinner, hear and obey. 'Tis the voice of the Spirit that cries, while he strives, yield to him, do not quench the convictions that rise." We'll just sing, please, the first three verses of 403, and if it's convenient, could we stand, please, while we sing?
There's a voice that is calling to me, and it is
with its tenderest tone, while it bids me from God's wrath to flee. Tis the voice of the Spirit that cries, while he strives, yield to him, do not quench the convictions that rise.
There's a
Savior now waiting for thee, with his heart and his arms open wide. Will you come and from judgment be free, through the Lamb who on Calvary died? Sinner, hear and obey, 'tis the voice of the Spirit that cries,
when he sighs,
yield to him, do not quench the convictions that rise.
There's a fountain that's open for thee, oh, voice, and you from thy sin. Not a spot
nor a stain shall there be, if but once thou art cleansed therein. Sinner, hear and obey, 'tis the voice of the Spirit that cries,
why strive
to live, do not quench the convictions that rise.
We'll take a moment to ask for the Lord's blessing on the gospel meeting. Our God and our Father, we approach again into thy presence at the commencement of our gospel meeting, and bring before thee another time that most precious name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do so, Father, in acknowledgement that it is only in him, it is only through that work that he accomplished, that ever we may enter into thy presence, but name thee as our Father, and make our prayers and requests before thee. And so we come with thankfulness. We come with thankfulness, Father, for all of the blessings that we have enjoyed from thy hand that have allowed us to gather here today. We give thanks for the health that we enjoy. We give thanks, Father, for the freedom that is ours in our land. And we give thanks as well, and we give thanks most importantly for the freedom that we have from thyself to draw near into thy presence and in another hour of need to make our requests before thee and to lay out before thee the need of the gospel meeting. We consider the need, and we acknowledge again that it is greater than anything that we can meet ourselves. And so we are thankful that we can commit it to the God of eternity. The issues that are at stake are eternal. We think of souls that are bound for eternity. We think, Father, of those that are still in their sins, and they're bound for a lost eternity. And as we think of the magnitude of what lies before us as we consider the message of the gospel, we acknowledge again that it is more than we can handle ourselves. It is beyond us. And so we commit it to thee, Father, and pray that thou would move, and pray that thou would speak, that thy voice would be heard. We ask, Father, that the Spirit of God would move freely in our midst, that it would convict souls of sin, those that are not saved, that they would be convicted of their sin, and especially, Father, that they would be pointed to the person of thy beloved Son. We ask again for help from thee to speak well of him, to speak of that sacrifice that he accomplished upon Calvary's cross, and to speak again, Father, and to declare the message of forgiveness and the message of hope, the message of redemption that is to be found in the person of thy beloved Son. We ask, Father, that they would be with us. We pray for thy help. We pray for thy guidance. We ask, Father, for those that are listening in, whether they be in the hall here or online, that every distracting thought would be taken from their mind. There are so many that are so busy in this world today. We ask, Father, that all of these thoughts would be taken from their mind and that they would be filled only with thoughts of eternity, with thoughts of their sin, and above all, Father, with thoughts of thy beloved Son and all he has accomplished for them. And so we acknowledge again our need of thee and commit ourselves to thee and pray for thy presence and pray for thy help and pray for thy power. And above all, Father, pray for a night of salvation. We believe that it is wonderfully possible. And so we commit all of these things to thee and pray for every other place where the gospel is preached. We ask that thou would be with us and commit ourselves to thee in that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now, we're very glad to see you all tonight. Make you very welcome to our meeting. And also welcoming those who are online too. Thank you for joining us tonight. Before our brother, we're glad to have David Porter with us tonight from Gorol. And thank him for coming. Pray that the Lord might help him as he would bring the message of salvation. But just announcements for this coming week. Tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, we have the Bible Explorers for the boys and girls. And then on Tuesday, over in the Purdersburn Village, in the Purdersburn Hall, at 7:30, we have a little gospel meeting there. And the speaker there will be Brian Wilkinson. Then on Thursday evening at 7:45, we have our prayer and Bible study. The passage under consideration this week is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 17. Then next Lord's Day again, 11 o'clock, the breaking of bread, the Sunday school and Bible class at 3, and then a prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel meeting again next Sunday at 7 o'clock. The speaker expected next Lord's Day is Lawrence McHugh. So we just make you very welcome to join us in these, and of course they're all subject to the will of the Lord. And just hand over to our brother David.
Now, could I ask you to turn with me, please, to the prophecy of Isaiah for a portion of Scripture. The prophecy of Isaiah and chapter number 7. If you have a Bible with you, you can follow the reading. If you don't, I'll try and speak as clearly as I can as I read the Word of God. I would maybe just add to the welcome that you've already received to say that we're very glad for all that have come along. We make you most welcome in the Lord's name, and likewise for those that are listening online as well. Isaiah chapter number 7, and we'll commence to read at verse number 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin the king of Syria and Pekah the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord to Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say to him, Take heed, and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted. For the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And that's all I want to read with you. And we do trust the Lord's blessing on the reading of Scripture. I wonder, as I read that passage to you, how much it means to you. It might be a passage of Scripture that you're not overly familiar with. And maybe some of the names in it are not names that are overly familiar to you. And you might think, David, it's not a passage that's particularly of interest to me or particularly of relevance to me. I'm sure wherever you come from, there weren't many Shear Jashubs, or there weren't many Ahazes either. And that may all feel slightly foreign to you. It took place well over 2,000 years ago, well over 2,000 miles from here. But what I would love you to grasp this evening, as we take a few moments to consider what the Word of God has to say in this passage to us this evening, I would love you to consider what it means for someone to reject the message of the God of eternity. Because we have an example of that here in the Scriptures. A man that the God of eternity brought a specific message to. And that man, sad to say, refused to listen to what God said. He would not accept it, and he would not listen. And I want you to consider, first of all, in the gospel meeting this evening, that one of the parallels and one of the things that you have in common with that man, while he lived many years ago and far from here, is that this evening you also are hearing a message from the God of eternity to you. Now, I don't know if you've really thought what that means. But in the gospel meeting here this evening, this isn't, I hope you understand, it's not just some sort of religious service. I'm very thankful you came, and I'm not entirely sure why you came. I don't know everyone here. But I want to try to impress upon you this evening that what you're here to do this evening is to listen to the Word of God. We have read from the Scriptures, and we believe that it is the Word of God. And it is living and powerful. It is the same word. The Bible tells us that when God created, that he spoke. And when God spoke, when his word went forth, it came to be. And there was not a force or a power in heaven itself that could stop it. When God spoke, his word was established and it came to be. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the power of God's word. And that same word comes to you this evening in this scripture, in the Bible. And it's a message from the God of eternity to you. And I want you to consider it wisely. And I want to learn a few lessons from a man who refused to listen to what God said. And I hope that you will be wise and not do like he did. And I hope you will be wise and you will listen to the Word of God and you will accept Christ as your Savior this evening. I want you to consider what this man was doing when the message of God came to him. You see, he was a king. He was a king in Jerusalem. He was a wicked man. And when the Word of God came to him, when this message from the God of eternity came to him, he had heard another message. He had heard other news, and he had heard of kings that were coming down to besiege the city of Jerusalem. And the man was shaken. The Bible tells us that. It says that he was shaken like a tree in the wind. He was terrified. And he was out, and he was just reviewing the defenses of the city. And one of the problems that they had in that day in Jerusalem, it's a unique city in so many ways, of course. Its location was chosen by the God of eternity. But it's a city that it's unique in many ways, but it's unique in that while it sits on a hill, there's no water supply. There was no water supply at that time within the city. The main water supply to the city of Jerusalem was outside of the city, the Gihon Spring. And so, whenever an army would come to besiege the city of Jerusalem, it left them vulnerable. And the king, when he heard of armies that were coming, one of the things that struck terror to him was the thought of how they would keep their water supply in the city. And he was out looking over all of those things. And the man was shaken. The man was terrified at the thought of the armies that were coming. And the message of God came to him. And it seems to me as I read this passage of Scripture that he was just too busy to listen. He had too many things on. He had too many problems that were far too great. And he was just too busy to listen to the Word of God. Tell me this evening, have you come here tonight? And I know some of us have very busy lives, and I'm sure it's the same for yourself today. Maybe you're busy in school, maybe you're busy in work, whatever it might be, family issues or problems that you may have. All of those things have their place. I know I'm not here to criticize them. But tell me, have you come with a sincere desire to set aside time and to consider what the God of eternity has to say to you, because he has a message for you this evening? And this man, the Word of God came to him. But he was just too busy to listen. And he was afraid. And the message of God came to him first. And it said, Ahaz, do you see what it is that you're terrified of? God said to him, Ahaz, don't worry about it because it's not going to happen. It won't happen. I will see to it that it won't happen. And sad to say, that message fell upon deaf ears because Ahaz wouldn't listen to it. Tell me, why did he not listen? God spoke to him. And God said, Ahaz, don't worry about those men. You think they're great kings. You think they're mighty. But I'm telling you, their time is almost over. And it's almost like a picture of a little matchstick that's almost burnt out. And it's just about to be snuffed out by the God of eternity. He said, don't worry about them. Their time is over. Don't worry one thing about them. The message from the God of eternity was really to fear him instead. You remember what God, what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He was speaking to his own, to the disciples in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. And he said to them not to fear men who could destroy the body. They could kill you. That's the worst that men can do. But he said instead to fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And I want to ask you a question this evening, and you might think it's an unusual question. Tell me, what is it that your greatest fear? This man had a real fear. This man Ahaz had a real fear. He was terrified of these armies that were coming. But the sad thing is, he was so caught up in that fear that when the Word of God came to him, those fears that gripped his heart, they were more real to him than the Word of God, and he just ignored the Word of God. Tell me, what is your greatest fear this evening? Maybe you're afraid. Maybe there's someone here and you have a business and you're fearing for its future. That could be a serious thing. I don't know. Maybe you're afraid that you have exams coming up and you're worried as to how that's going to go. All of those things, I say again, can be real. Tell me, what fear do you have of offending the God of eternity? What fear do you have that there's coming a day when you will stand before him and you will give account to him and he will be your judge? Tell me, this evening, in Newton Brady Gospel Hall, do you know any fear of God? Or is it that your life is so busy, like this man, that you have no thought of him? And when the message of the gospel comes to you, and when we open the scriptures of truth again, and we warn you that you're a sinner before the God of eternity, tell me, friend, is that real to you? Does that grip your heart the way it ought? That in God's eyes you're a sinner, and if those sins are not forgiven, he will judge them. Does that grip your heart the way it ought? Or is it the case that you're so busy that those words of warning are just falling upon deaf ears like this man? The message of God came to him. But sad to say, he didn't listen. Too busy. Too caught up on other things. With a fear in his heart of what might happen. And it never did. God said it wouldn't. But with no fear of the God that he had to face. And he didn't listen. You know, I find it an encouraging thing when I read that God spoke again unto Ahaz. And he said to Isaiah to speak to Ahaz, and he said, Ahaz, tell Ahaz, I'm prepared to give him a sign. I'm prepared to give him something to demonstrate the greatness of the God of eternity. And he said, Ahaz can ask for anything. I will give him a sign. Should it be right down to the depths, or so high as to be in heaven itself, he says, I will give him a sign, and I will give him something to show him the greatness of God. You know what Ahaz said? He just came up with a pathetic excuse. And it sounds on the surface, it sounds oh so respectful. He says, oh no, now, I would know not to tempt the Lord my God. And it sounds so good, doesn't it? The sad thing is that it didn't come from a sincere heart at all. It came from the heart of a man who just did not want to know God. And he just rejected it. Tell me, I'm speaking to folk and I know you have heard the message of the gospel before. Have you ever done like Ahaz and tried to make excuse? And tried to say things like, well, it's not that I don't believe, it's just that I'm not sure. Or tried to somehow make excuse and picture yourself as somehow being in a neutral ground. That it's not that you're rejecting the gospel. Oh, no, you would never do that. But you're somehow in some neutral ground. Listen, friend, I'm not here to be harsh, and I trust you'll not take it harshly from me. But I want to warn you as sincerely as I can with this Bible open before me that every time you leave a gospel meeting and go out those doors not saved, you have rejected God's only Son. And there is nothing that is more offensive to the God of eternity. Nothing. Because there is no one that is more valuable to the God of eternity than his Son. And when we present to you a message in the gospel and tell you of a Savior who came into this world and bled and died to save you, if you go out those doors not trusting Christ, you will have committed a sin that is the most offensive sin to the God of eternity, because you will have rejected the thing that is most precious to God, his beloved Son. And this King Ahaz, he received an offer of mercy from the God of eternity. And he just made excuse, because the truth of the matter is that he just didn't want it. Tell me, we're here to tell you another time of God's wonderful offer of mercy to you. It's an offer of mercy that goes out in the person of his dear Son who suffered and bled and died upon Calvary's cross for you. Tell me honestly before the God of eternity, have you any interest in that message? It means everything to God. It cost God everything. Tell me, what does it mean to you? I plead with you, don't do what Ahaz did. Don't come up with some poor, lame excuse. I plead with you to face it, to face the issue of your sin, and to accept the one who suffered and bled and died upon Calvary's cross for you. But you know, the wonderful message that God had for this man. God offered him a sign. He offered him a sign that could be from the very highest or even to the very lowest, to the very depths. and Ahaz refused. And so God said, I will give a sign. The God of eternity said, I will give the greatest sign. And he spoke to that man Ahaz, and he spoke of a virgin that would conceive and bear a son. You know, I was thinking about this earlier, and I thought to myself, I would love to have seen Ahaz's face when he heard that message. A virgin giving birth to a baby. I could almost see the man scoff. Oh, if you had offered Ahaz a great army, he might have been interested. If you had told him, Ahaz, there are 4 battalions behind this hill, and they're going to come out over this hill, and they're going to defend the city of Jerusalem. Oh, Ahaz would have been interested then. But a virgin giving birth to a baby, Ahaz scoffed and thought, that's not for me. You know, the message that we have for you this evening, friend, is just exactly the same as the message that God had for that king. And it's to point to that one that was born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger. And King Ahaz was told that the wonder of that birth is that his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And the one who is God's only son, the one the Bible tells us who, when it says that he inhabits eternity, it means that he fills it. The one who has no restriction. The one who is without beginning of days. The one who is eternal. The one who, I was saying earlier, spoke and the world came into being. Isaiah tells us, you know, I sometimes hear these folks talking about how vast the universe is. And they hear them speaking about light years and billions of this and so on. And it's more than my mind can take in. This Bible tells me in this same book that we have read from that the God of eternity holds it all in the span of his hand. Just as easily as you or I would hold a little cup or something like it. And yet the wonder of the message of the gospel that we have for you this evening is that the Son of God himself was born of a virgin. And the one who spoke and the worlds came into being was wrapped in swaddling bands and led in a manger by a virgin mother. And I point you not only to Bethlehem's manger to tell you of the wonder of that scene, that he came into this world for you, but I point you again to Calvary's cross and tell you that that same one, Emmanuel, God with us, that he went all the way to that cross. And upon that cross, God's spotless, sinless Son, he bled, he suffered, and he gave his life. And the one who is the author of life, the one who is the Lord of life, the one upon whom death had no claim, he voluntarily laid down his life, and he laid it down for you. I say again, friend, in the gospel meeting this evening, the message that God had for that king all those hundreds and thousands of years ago hasn't changed, because it's the same message that God has for you this evening. It's the message of his Son, and he's all that you need. We offer you this evening, with this Bible open in front of us, the offer that God has for you this evening in the person of his Son. It's the forgiveness of your sins. It's eternal life. It's hope and assurance in Jesus Christ. To put your head upon the pillow this evening and know that no matter what happens, you have Christ as your Savior, and you'll be home in heaven, that your sins have been forgiven, and that as you look forward to eternity, you don't do so with fear, but you do so with hope, a hope that comes alone in the person of God's only Son. That's the message of the gospel that he has to you. I say again, the message of the gospel, the message that God had, it has not changed. Because it is God's one plan. It is God's only plan. It was God's plan and God's offer to that man that day. And it's the same offer that God has for you this evening. That you can know salvation. And you can know your sins forgiven. If. And this is important, friend. Please listen. If you will accept his Son. if you will accept that one who is Emmanuel, God with us. It is a beautiful title. It's a title that I can't explain it to you fully. That one that was in Bethlehem's manger, that one that was upon that cross at Calvary, that he is truly God's Son, that was the one who laid down his life for you upon Calvary's cross. You know, I can't tell you everything that took place at Calvary. I sometimes read of pictures of what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. And the truth of the matter is that they are just pictures because our human minds can't comprehend it. What happened when God's only Son suffered for sins upon that cross? And there was a weight, that penalty of sin that fell upon him, that is greater than I can describe to you this evening, friend. But the one thing that I can tell you with assurance is that work was completed because God raised him from the dead. And the marvel of the message of the gospel is that we don't simply point you to Bethlehem's manger, to that one, that child that was born, Emmanuel, God with us. And we don't simply point you to Calvary's cross, and we do. But we point you this evening to one who sits at God's right hand. And the message of the gospel that goes out to you this evening is simply to say that he lives and he promises you life in him. And the offer of mercy from the God of eternity goes out to you again. I ask your friend this evening, what are you going to do with it? You have a choice. I wish I could make that choice for you. There are Christians that meet here and they wish they could make that choice for you as well. But the truth is, it's your choice, because it's your soul. And the choice that you make will define where you spend eternity. That's how important it is, friend. I have to close with a warning, because it's what is recorded in Scripture here for us, that king, he rejected the message of God, that God said to him, there was coming a day that he would see a suffering the like of which he had never seen before. And God spoke of a day of judgment that would fall upon that city because of the rejection of that man. You know, rejecting the word of God comes at a price. And I have to warn you this evening, friend, if you reject the message of the gospel, it will cost you your soul. I shudder to think that could be the choice that you make. I plead with you this evening again. Don't do what Ahaz did. I plead with you to take time. I plead with you to consider wisely your soul. And I plead with you above all to accept God's offer of mercy in the person of his Son. He is all you need. He is God's offer to you. He is the message of the gospel. God offers to you his Son to be your Savior. And if you reject it, friend, there is no other offer. There is no other message. There is no other place of forgiveness. If you reject it, it will cost you your soul. I say again, it is your decision. I pray you will decide wisely and trust Christ for salvation even tonight. Our Father, we bow again in thy presence, and we thank thee another time for the scriptures of truth that we have to read. We thank thee, Father, that we do believe that it is thy word, that it is powerful, that it is living, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we commit it to thee and pray that thou would use it. And pray, Father, even long after our voices are silent, that thou would continue to speak. And for those that are not saved, Father, we ask that thou would speak to them and awaken them. And pray, Father, that there might be some that would turn to thee for salvation even this evening. We thank thee again for the wonderful message of the gospel. We thank thee again, Father, for the potential of this gospel meeting. And so we leave the message with thee and pray that thou would move and pray that thou would speak. And pray above all, Father, that thou would bless in the salvation of precious souls. So we commit ourselves to thee now as we separate. Take us all home safely, we pray. For we ask all of these things in that name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, could I ask you to turn, please, just for one verse of a hymn as we close. hymn number 341. Hymn number 341, and it's verse 2 that was on my mind. Whoever receiveth the message of God and trusts in the power of the soul-cleansing blood, a full and eternal redemption shall have, for he is both able and willing to save. Again, if it's convenient, please, could we stand while we sing verse number 2 of 341 under gospel meeting will be over, and thank you again for coming.
Whoever receiveth the message of God and trusts in the power of the soul-cleansing blood, and full and eternal redemption shall have, for he is both able and willing to save. For sin of the Savior is calling on me. Yeah.